Gouvernail said. So Gouvernail came again and told Sir Tristram he slept, or else he was mad. "Go thou again," said Sir Tristram, "and bid him arise and tell him that I am here, his mortal foe." So Gouvernail rode again and put upon him the butt of his spear and said, "Sir Palamedes, make thee ready, for wit ye well, Sir Tristram hoveth yonder and sendeth thee word he is thy mortal foe." And therewithal Sir Palamedes arose stilly without words and gat his horse and saddled him and bridled him, and lightly he leapt upon and gat his spear in his hand, and either feutred their spears and hurled fast together, and there Tristram smote down Sir Palamedes over his horse's tail. Then lightly Sir Palamedes put his shield afore him and drew his sword. And there began strong battle on both parts, for both they fought for the love of one lady, and ever she lay on the walls and beheld them how they fought out of measure, and either were wounded passing sore, but Palamedes was much sorer wounded. Thus they fought, tracing and traversing more than 2 hours, that well nigh for dole and sorrow La Beale Isoud swooned. "Alas," she said, "that one I loved and yet do, and that other I love not, yet it were great pity that I should see Sir Palamedes slain, for well I know by this that time the end be done, Sir Palamedes is but a dead knight. Because he is not christened, I would be loath that he should die a Saracen." Page 359. And therewithal she came down and besought Sir Tristram to fight no more. "Ah, madam," said he, "what mean you? Will ye have me shamed? Well ye know I will be ruled by you." "I will not your dishonor," said La Beale Isoud, "but I would that ye would for my sake spare this unhappy Saracen Palamedes." "Madam," said Sir Tristram, "I will leave fighting at this time for your sake." Then she said to Sir Palamedes, "This shall be your charge, that thou shalt go out of this country while I am therein." "I will obey your commandment," said Sir Palamedes, "the which is sore against my will." "Then take thy way," said La Beale Isoud, "unto the court of King Arthur, and there recommend me unto Queen Guinevere, and tell her that I send her word that there be within this land but 4 lovers, that is, Sir Lancelot de Lake, and Queen Guinevere, and Sir Tristram de Liones, and Queen Isoud." Chapter 32. How Sir Tristram brought Queen Isoud home, and of the debate of King Mark and Sir Tristram. And so Sir Palamedes departed with great heaviness, and Sir Tristram took the queen and brought her again to King Mark. And then was there made a great joy of her homecoming, who was cherished but Sir Tristram. Then Sir Tristram let fetch Sir Lambegus, his knight, from the forester's house, and it was long or he was whole, but at last he was well recovered. Thus they lived with joy and play a long while, but ever Sir Andred, that was nigh cousin to Sir Tristram, lay in a watch to wait betwixt Sir Tristram and La Beale Isoud, for to take them and slander them. Page 360. So upon a day Sir Tristram talked with La Beale Isoud in a window, and that espied Sir Andred, and told it to the king. Then King Mark took a sword in his hand, and came to Sir Tristram, and called him a false traitor, and would have stricken him. But Sir Tristram was nigh him, and ran under his sword, and took it out of his hand. And then the king cried, "Where are my knights and my men? I charge you slay this traitor." But at this time there was not one who would move for his words. When Sir Tristram saw that there was not one who would be one would be against him, he shook the sword to the king, and made countenance as though he would have stricken him. And then King Mark fled, and Sir Tristram followed him, and smote upon him 5 or 6 strokes, flatling on the neck, that he made him fall upon the nose. And then Sir Tristram yeaed his way, and armed him, and took his horse and his men, and so he rode into that forest. And there upon a day Sir Tristram met with the 2 brethren that were knights with King Mark, and there he struck off the head of one, and wounded the other to the death, and he made him to bear his brother's head in his helm unto the king, and 30 more there he wounded. And when they And when that knight came before the king to say his message, he there died afore the king and queen. Then King Mark called his council unto him, and asked advice of his barons, what was best to do with Sir Tristram. Sir, said the barons, in especial Sir Dinas, the seneschal, sir, we will give you counsel for to send for Sir Tristram, for we will that ye wit many men will hold with Sir Tristram, and he were hard bestead. And sir, said Sir Dinas, ye shall understand that Sir Tristram is called peerless and makeless of any Christian knight, and of his might and his hardiness we know none so good a knight, but if it be Sir Lancelot du Lake. And if he depart from your court, and go to King Arthur's court, wit ye well, he will get him such friends, that there he will not set by your malice. And therefore, sir, I counsel you to take him to your grace. Page 361. I will well, said the king, that he be sent for, that we may be friends. Then the barons sent for Sir Tristram under a safe conduct, and so when Sir Tristram came to the king, he was welcome, and no rehearsal was made, and there was game and play. And then the king and queen went on hunting, and Sir Tristram. Chapter 33. How Sir Lamorack jousted with 30 knights, and Sir Tristram, at the request of King Mark, smote his horse down. The king and the queen made their pavilions and their tents in that forest beside a river, and there was daily hunting and jousting, for there were ever 30 knights ready to joust unto all them that came in at that time. And there by fortune came Sir Lamorack de Gales, and Sir Driant, and there Sir Driant jousted right well, but at the last he had a fall. Then Sir Lamorack proffered to joust, and when he began, he fared so with the 30 knights that there was not one of them but that he gave him a fall, and some of them were sore hurt. I marvel, said King Mark, what knight he is that doth such deeds of arms. Sir, said Sir Tristram, I know him well for a noble knight as few now be living, and his name is Sir Lamorack de Gales. It were a great shame, said the king, that he should go thus away, unless that some of you meet with him better. Sir, said Sir Tristram, meseemeth it were no worship for a noble man to have ado with him, and for because at this time he hath done overmuch for any mean knight living. And, reader's note, any mean knight here means any ordinary knight, returned a text. Therefore, as meseemeth, it were great shame and villainy to tempt him any more at this time, insomuch as he and his horse are weary both, for the deeds of arms that he hath done this day, and they be well considered, it were enough for Sir Lancelot du Lake. Page 362. As for that, said King Mark, I require you, as ye love me and my lady the Queen La Beale Isoud, take your arms and joust with Sir Lamorack de Gales. Sir, said Sir Tristram, ye bid me do a thing that is against knighthood, and well I can deem that I shall give him a fall, for it is no mastery, for my horse and I be fresh both, and so is not his horse and he, and wit ye well that he will take it for great unkindness, for ever one good is loth to take another at a disadvantage. But because I will not displease you as ye require me, so will I do and obey your commandment. And so Sir Tristram armed him and took his horse and put him forth, and there Sir Lamorack met him mightily, and what with the might of his own spear and of Sir Tristram's spear, Sir Lamorack's horse fell to the earth, and he sitting in the saddle. Then anon, as lightly as he might, he avoided the saddle and his horse, and put his shield afore him, and drew his sword. And then he bade Sir Tristram, alight, thou knight, and thou darst. Nay, said Sir Tristram, I will no more have ado with thee, for I have done to thee overmuch unto my dishonour and to thy worship. As for that, said Sir Lamorack, I can thee no thank, since thou hast forejousted me on horseback. I require thee, and I beseech thee, and thou be Sir Tristram, fight with me on foot. I will not so, said Sir Tristram, and wit ye well my name is Sir Tristram de Liones, and well I know ye be Sir Lamorack de Gales, and this that I have done to you was against my will, but I was required thereto. But to say that I will do at your request, as at this time, I will have no more ado with you, for me shameth of that I have done. And for the shame, said Sir Lamorack, on thy part, or on mine, bear thou it, and thou wilt, for though a mare's son hath failed me, now a queen's son shall not fail thee, and therefore, an thou be such a knight as men call thee, I require thee, alight and fight with me. Page 363. Sir Lamorack, said Sir Tristram, I understand your heart is great, and cause what ye have to say thee sooth, for it would grieve me, and any knight should keep him fresh, and then to strike down a weary knight, for that knight nor horse was never formed that always might stand or endure. And therefore, said Sir Tristram, I will not have ado with you, for me thinketh of that I have done. As for that, said Sir Lamorack, I shall quit you, and ever I see my time. Chapter 34. How Sir Lamorack sent an horn to King Mark, in despite of Sir Tristram, and how Sir Tristram was driven into a chapel. So he departed from him with Sir Driant, and by the way they met with a knight that was sent from Morgan le Fay unto King Arthur, and this knight had a fair horn harnessed with gold, and the horn had such a virtue that there might no lady ni gentlewoman drink of that horn, but if she were true to her husband, and if she were false, she should spill all the drink, and if she were true to her lord, she might drink peaceable. And because of the Queen Guinevere, and in the despite of Sir Lancelot, this horn was sent unto King Arthur, and by force Sir Lamorack made that knight to tell all the cause why he bare that horn. Now shalt thou bear this horn, said Lamorack, unto King Mark, or else choose thou to die for it, for I tell thee plainly, in despite and reproof of Sir Tristram, thou shalt bear the horn unto King Mark his uncle, and say thou to him that I sent it him for to assay his lady, and if she be true to him, he shall prove her. So the knight went his way unto King Mark, and brought him that rich horn, and said that Sir Lamorack sent it him, and thereto he told him of the virtue of that horn. Then the king made Queen Isoude to drink thereof, and 100 ladies, and there were but 4 ladies of all those that drank clean. Page 364. Alas, said King Mark, this is a great despite, and swear a great oath that she should be burnt and the other ladies. Then the barons gathered them together and said plainly they would not have those ladies burnt for an horn made by sorcery that came from as false a sorceress and witch as then was living. For that horn did never good, but caused strife and debate, and always in her days she had been an enemy to all true lovers. So there were many knights made there a vow, and ever they met with Morgan le Fay, that they would show her short courtesy. Also Sir Tristram was passing wroth that Sir Lamorack sent that horn unto King Mark, for well he knew that it was done in the despite of him. And therefore he thought to quit Sir Lamorack. Then Sir Tristram used daily and nightly to go to the Queen Isoude when he might, and ever Sir Andred, his cousin, watched him night and day for to take him with La Belle Isoude. And so upon a night Sir Andred espied the hour and the time when Sir Tristram went to his lady. Then Sir Andred gat unto him 12 knights, and at midnight he set upon Sir Tristram secretly and suddenly. And there Sir Tristram was take naked abed with La Belle Isoude, and then was he bound hand and foot, and so was he kept until day. And then by the assent of King Mark and of Sir Andred and of some of the barons, Sir Tristram was led unto a chapel that stood upon the sea rock, therefore to take his judgment. And so he was led bounden with 40 knights. And when Sir Tristram saw that there was none other boot but needs that he must die, then said he, Fair lords, remember what I have done for the country of Cornwall, and in what jeopardy I have been in for the weal of you all. For when I fought for the truage of Cornwall with Sir Marhaus, the good